This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Come, Holy Spirit, kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. As you may have noticed, that prayer that I just prayed is one that I pray almost every time I give a sermon here, or when I give a talk somewhere. It grounds me. And yet, there was a long time where I thought it was kind of weird to say, "Come, Holy Spirit." We're taught in the church God is always with us. The Holy Spirit is the power of God, part of the Trinity. So why do we have to say, "Come, Holy Spirit," if he's already here? So it bugged me that way. Also, there's two things in Episcopal talk, in church talk, that we say all the time. And I didn't get that either. One was, "The Lord be with you." We say it constantly, "The Lord be with you." Well, if God is already here, then why are we saying, "The Lord be with you"? It just was weird for me. It didn't make any sense. It's why I changed our opening line. Instead of "The Lord be with you," we say, "The living God is with us and with all creation." That's why I did that. There's one other one. We'll say it today when we do our prayers of the people. In between each prayer, we will say, "Lord, in your mercy," what? "Hear our prayer." Well, as if God doesn't hear our prayer. It's just this weird thing that stuck in my craw. But I'm a little slow on the uptake, because now I think I get it. It's not that God or Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit goes anywhere. It's that we need to be able to acknowledge that for one another and for ourselves. So when we say, "The Lord be with you," it's like, remind me that he's with me too. And I hope that you're remembering being with, like really with, not just the words that come out of our mouth, not just the words. So today, when we say, "Come, Holy Spirit," we are celebrating something called Pentecost, if you didn't already know that, that is celebrated in churches around the world today, and it's the birthday of the church. In the letter in the leaflet, you'll see, I say, "Happy birthday" at the beginning of it. It's the celebration of the birthday of the Christian church. And it's Pentecost, because that's a Greek word that means 50. We are 50 days after Easter today. And it's a celebration of the time when the Holy Spirit, the text tells us, came to the disciples in a huge way on that day with fire and wind and smoke. And then they were sent out in mission to go and do what Jesus had done now that Jesus wasn't there anymore. Well, it wasn't as if the Holy Spirit wasn't there to begin with. The Holy Spirit was there from the time of creation. So our gospel today, selected for Pentecost also, is where we're going to focus on that Holy Spirit coming to the disciples the very night of Easter also. We heard this same gospel a couple of weeks ago. I think you might remember it. It was the night of Easter Day, but some of them hadn't seen Jesus yet. They'd heard these rumors that he had come back to life, but they were locked up in a room in fear for their lives because they thought they were going to be killed too just for being Christians. So they're in fear, and then what happens? Jesus walks right in, and he says, "Peace be with you." Not, "Let's go get them, let's plan our attack, let's get revenge." He was a different kind of ruler. A different kind of king, that king of peace. So he says, "Peace be with you." And then, he shows them his wounds. He shows them his hands. He shows them his side. And in that moment, they knew that it was really Jesus. I'd like you to remember that. Keep a hold of that because we're going to come back to that important point. He showed them his wounds. And then they were rejoicing, saying, "It's really the Lord, it really is." And then he says again to them, "Peace be with you, peace be with you." Now go out and do the work. Because just as God sent me, just as the Father sent me, now I send you to go out and be peace. It's not just saying the words like they would do as a greeting. It was being peace in the world. And forgive. Forgive other people. So that's where we are in this moment in the gospel. And they're, you know, blown away. This guy has just walked in that they thought had died. Can you imagine such a thing? But Jesus, in showing them his wounds, was being real to them. Was being real to them. And divulging something about himself as well, which we never really think about. When we're willing to risk being vulnerable and share our wounds with one another and be willing to listen to those wounds from other people, whatever they are, whatever our hurts are, we open up. It's like saying, come, Holy Spirit, into this moment. Come, because I'm hurting and you're hurting, not all the time, but we've got those things that need to be healed, every one of us. So when we do that, that's allowing the rush of this wind and fire and tears, the gift of tears, Thomas Merton called it. Powerful, powerful stuff. I'd like to tell you a story that happened to me quite a while ago now, back in 2007. In seminary, on the way to the priesthood, while you're in school, you have to do something called clinical pastoral education, CPE for short. And CPE, it's usually done in hospitals or prisons or some kind of health situation, hospice care, nursing home, so that you're with people when they're going through a real crisis in their lives and you learn how to just have a ministry of presence with them. You're not there to solve anything as a chaplain or when we get together. You know, we always want to rush in with these words. We're trained to be able to have a ministry of presence. Well, I did my CPE at a place called Washington Hospital Center in Washington, D.C., and it was the only level one trauma center in the D.C. area at the time. This was 2007. And we had to take different schedules, and we would either be on all night on call as the only chaplain for the whole hospital when it was our turn. It was a big place. Or during the day, and they would send us out, you know, to be with whoever we needed to be with, whoever wanted to have a chaplain visit. There were intense situations. And when we did the night shift, we'd be able to go to the lounge and rest for a minute if we had any time. But mostly, we stayed in the trauma unit because night after night after night after night after night, young men and young women were coming in with gunshot wounds or stabbings, usually black-on-black crime. Usually black-on-black, because of the abject poverty, a direct result of poverty. So night after night, we'd be there, and we'd offer prayer with them, and they usually wanted it, and if there had been a death, we'd go with the emergency room doctor to the waiting room to tell the parents that their son or their daughter had died. And then the ER doc has to go back to the trauma center, and we'd be there with these families who were shattered. It was really hard to be there. One night, I was beeped, and I went down to the trauma center, and it said that a father wanted prayer, that his son had been brought in. 24-year-old guy, I'll call Jeffrey, was brought in dead on arrival from a gunshot wound. And I came with him, and we were praying, and he said he wanted to go pray with his son, with the body one last time. So we went in, and it was very difficult. And then after I sat with him for a while, I said, do you have any family members that could be with you or friends? And he said, well, my wife, Jeffrey's mom, is out in the parking lot. She doesn't know yet. She just knows it was a bad accident or something happened, and she's out in the parking lot. She's afraid to come in the hospital. So I said, do you want me to go out there with you? And he said, no, I don't. So I said, okay. Well, I'm on my beeper. If you need me, just let me know. So I stayed with him a little longer. He left. I went back to the lounge and fixed a cup of tea. About 20 minutes later, the beeper went off, and he wanted me to come back down. So I came back down. He hadn't left. And he said, I do want you to go out there with me. So I went out to the parking lot, And before we went, they said, are you sure you want to go? And I said, of course I want to go. And they said, well, you have to have security if you're going to go outside. And I said, okay. And I had no clue why. So we go out through this emergency room that they said was busy. Well, busy was a gross understatement. It was just wild and crazy. Went through this, the father and I, arm in arm. We get outside, and it was pandemonium out there, too. And the guard was right with us, stood off to the side, and then I saw her. And I see her pacing back and forth. And I saw her son, another son there, who was obviously dead drunk, staggering around and yelling and screaming. We walk up, and I had prayed, come, Holy Spirit, the whole time walking down there, because I was scared. Come, Holy Spirit. But I was more than scared. I knew that this was exactly what God wanted us to do. So she sees us coming. She can tell in a second what had happened. She falls to the ground hysterically crying. And we went over, crouched down. I was with her for a while. The son came over and made this big scene about how he was going to go in the hospital, whether we let him or not. And I don't know what came over me, but as scared as I was, I turned to him and I said, we will go in that hospital if your mother says we'll go in that hospital. And he looks at me like this, and he did not expect it coming from me. And then he sat down on the floor, on the ground, leaned against a tree, and fell asleep. So I'm back with the mom. We finally got her up. We take her over to the bench, and she starts rocking and rocking. And then I realized that I started rocking with her. And we were there rocking and rocking, not saying anything at all, anything at all. And the father was on the other side, rocking and rocking. And then all of a sudden, she sits up straight, and she looks at me, and she was furious. She said, what are you doing here, white girl? What do you know about this? What do you know about this killing? What do you know? What are you doing here? I thought she was going to hit me. And I took a deep breath. She said, you don't know anything about losing a child. I never talked about the death of my own daughter in those circles or professionally. It's just not usually professional. Or in sermons, but in that moment, it was this peace that came over me, and I was able to tell her that 4 years earlier, my daughter had been killed in a car wreck, and no, I didn't know what it felt like in her situation, but I did know what it felt like to lose a child. Well, she looked at me, and all of the anger left her. She melted and got really peaceful. It was like Jesus walking through the locked door saying, peace be with you for both of us. For both of us in that moment of sharing our wounds, of showing our wounds and not being afraid. Peace be with you. Without any advice, without any fix it, we just shared it. That's all. And the Holy Spirit came. And was there and was vital, let me tell you. And then she said, could we go inside? I think I'm ready. And I said, yeah. And we went in and we prayed, and it was powerful. And I never saw her again. And I'll never forget her. I will never, ever forget her. My sisters and brothers in Christ, I encourage you to risk being real. To ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to come into your midst and have other people come with you and be real. In closing, I'd like to read from my new best friend, Kyla McClurg, who I've read from before, what she has to say about this gospel. She's an amazing author. Even our finest locks will not be able to keep out an idea whose time has come. There he is, the best idea ever to have sprung from God's imagination, the resurrected one. He does not criticize his friends for choosing fear, for making a home now behind locked doors. He says, peace be with you. He shows them himself, the best gift he can give, his hands, his side, wounded and healing, and then once more, peace be with you, breathing on them the Holy Spirit, and giving them the power and authority to forgive. What is he doing? He is showing us how to live. Open the doors of your mind. Your wounds can be signs of peace. Don't be afraid to let others see you. Take a deep breath. Forgive. Take a deep breath. Forgive. Repeat as needed. Amen.